So this is two people speaking, and it's this discussion between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy. And Lord Chaitanya is asking Ramananda Roy various questions. And this is one of the questions he asks. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, "Of all kinds of distress, what is the most painful?" And Ramananda Roy replied, "Apart from separation from the devotee of Krishna, I know of no unbearable happiness." Purport. Concerning this, the Lord states in the Vedic literature, "Mam aradhya dukartha kutumbaksata manasa satsanga rahiti martyo vridaseva parichutaha." A person who does not worship me, who is unduly attached to family, and who does not stick to devotional service, must be considered a most unhappy person. Similarly, one who does not associate with Vaishnavas, who does not render service to his superior, is also a most unhappy person. There is also the following statement from Brihad Bhagavatamrita 1.5.44. Sva jivana dikam paryatam si vishnu jana sangataha vijaydane dena krishnam chatrana sukamrita labamaye. Out of all kinds of desirable things experienced in life of a living entity, association with the devotees of the Lord is the greatest. When we are separated from a devotee, even for a moment, we cannot enjoy happiness. So that's a discussion, and a little discussion of the discussion by Srila Prabhupada. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gina Jena Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bistam Stapditam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swam Padantikam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadar Har Sri Varsity Gaur Bhaktivinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is very, very instructive here. Lord Chaitanya is helping us to understand, using his devotee, Sri Ramananda Roy, about unhappiness. Sometimes unhappiness is described as a certain situation of disappointed desires. But here it gives a different understanding of what unhappiness is, or what is distressful. Is that we become attached to a devotee. Becoming attached to a devotee is becoming attached to Krishna. Because the devotees live their life centered around service to Krishna, and they emanate the qualities and characteristics of the Supreme in a relationship with their service and relationship with everything else. There's nothing more wonderful than a devotee of the Lord. Because a devotee of the Lord is the well-wisher of everyone. Devotee of the Lord is only thinking how to serve and please the Lord and how to make the other devotees happy. That's the devotee's only focus. They don't have any personal selfish interests, nor do they act contrary to the Lord's desire. They're always the best friend and well-wisher of everyone. So we get attached to devotee, and then somehow or other that attachment is broken due to circumstance. So Lord Chaitanya is describing that this breaking of this relationship is there's nothing more distressful than that. It makes the heart feel unhappy. The heart feels somewhat empty. And we see that in our own life, we get attached to a great devotee or we get attached to another devotee. That attachment is based on our relationship with Krishna, because that attachment is natural. The love that we experience in this world, that people have for each other, is based on a kind of selfishness that is situated on satisfying one's own personal desires, using the other person as a fulfillment for my needs. And when that becomes, what we say, disturbed by or broken by situations, then we call that suffering. But it's not really enjoyment, nor is it really suffering, in the sense that it is self-centered. It's based on the body and the mind and the senses. And therefore, it's a false kind of distress. It's a distress because it leaves one unhappy, but it's false because it's not based on anything, what we say, eternal or real. It's based on just like if you have a counterfeit coin and somebody steals your counterfeit coin and you say, somebody stole my money. Not really. It was never money in the first place. It was never money in the first place. It looks like it and appears like it, and you may also think about it in that way. So when we lose material happiness because of some situation, we don't really lose anything because there's nothing there in the first place. But in the relationship to a devotee, because that relationship is based on something tangible, something real, our connection with Krishna. And in our connection with Krishna and our connection with a devotee is equally as sweet and as powerful. So when the devotee departs, another devotee feels very sad or unhappy. It's like a loss of something very dear to oneself. Even if that person is not so personally close, still, because of that person's association and because of their exemplary service, the whole atmosphere becomes surcharged with the quality of that person's bhakti. And when that bhakti is no longer present by the separation of that person, there's a change, there's a loss, there's a feeling of separation. So, therefore, a devotee doesn't lament the loss of anything material in this world, because whatever is gained is also lost in this world. That's inevitable. But in the separation of another great devotee, one feels, what we say, unhappy. Even if that person doesn't leave the world physically, simply by the absence of the person's presence, one feels the types of unhappiness. We see that many times in our own experience with other devotees, or with our spiritual master, or with other, what we say, devotees. So that's natural, because the love that we feel towards other devotees is an indication of our same love for Krishna. It's not different. It's part of that same love. But when a devotee disappears, at least from the physical realm, a devotee doesn't really leave. This is another very important point to understand, because on the spiritual platform, there's no such thing as separation. When Malati was serving Malati Devi, Prabhupada's very, very senior Vaishnavi, when she was serving Prabhupada as a personal cook for him for many months in India, there was some break in that relationship, and Prabhupada had to go somewhere else, and she wasn't able to go. So, after feeling some separation, she penned a letter to Prabhupada and sent it to him, feeling very unhappy that she was no longer with him. Prabhupada acknowledged her feelings of separation and her love for him. But then he said something very philosophical and very, what we say, shastric. He says, the question of separation doesn't exist because there's no question that I am my body and you are your body. The spiritual master is the principle of devotional service. And if one is engaged in devotional service, one is connected to the spiritual master. Similarly, when Prabhupada was also given similar statements by other devotees, he says, there's no question of separation. You're chanting Hare Krishna, and I am chanting Hare Krishna. So what is the question of separation? So that may be a little bit hard to logically understand. But it's actually true when we are absorbed in the process of devotional service, because the intensity of the feelings of separation become manifested when we are absorbed in devotional service, and that intensity of separation causes one to meet the object of separation through the process of devotional service. In other words, when the love becomes so strong, due to the element of separation, there is meeting in the separation. The longing for the meeting through the mood of separation creates a type of meeting within the mind and heart. And that's actually real association. So therefore, in that loving mood, one is always associated with the same person. So, but when a Vaishnav does leave, there's always a loss. There's always a loss on the level, because the quality of their bhakti is no longer present within the atmosphere. It has gone somewhere else. But still, the legacy of their life is an inspiration for our own, what we say, advancement in Krishna consciousness. That legacy inspires us to somewhat emanate, or what we say, emulate the qualities of that person, to be like them, to sort of, what we say, follow in their footsteps by showing the same type of dedication in our service to the Lord. That dedication in service to the Lord is none different than seeing the Lord face to face. That's the quality of bhakti. When one is absorbed in one's devotional service, it is said that one is seeing Krishna face to face through the process of their own service to the Lord. And in the case of Jivapati, it was interesting because his service was face to face with the Lord, in the sense that he was doing deity worship, and therefore Krishna's there in his deity. It's not like Krishna and the deity. It's not like two things. Sometimes we say the deity of Krishna, but that's not true. That's like we're making a separation between the deity and Krishna. But actually, Krishna is the deity. There's no difference. And so, on that type of service, you're face to face with Krishna. You're face to face with Krishna. And so that quality of having that service and the realization that comes by serving Krishna so nicely in that service is a element of auspiciousness everywhere, for everyone. The quality of someone's bhakti is benefited by everyone in that atmosphere. Not only that, everyone in the whole world is benefited by that bhakti. That's how powerful bhakti is. And we sing that song, we say that song, I sing, Sri Rupa, Omagyan Timirandasya Ganajana Salakaya, Chaksu Unmilitam Yena, Tasmai Sri Gurudevena, Sri Chaitanya Manopistam, Staptitam Yena Bhutale, Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swam Patantikam. Swayam Rupa. Rupa Goswami is glorified in that, because even though he never left Vrindavan, his devotional service is auspicious for everybody in the entire world. So being in one place doesn't matter. Still, everyone benefits. It's like the sun. The sun is localized, but the energy of the sun is all pervading. someone as devotee is so absorbed in serving the Lord and is exhibiting the qualities of a great soul by showing those qualities in their character and in their determination and dedication and service to the Lord. That's glorious. I mean, there's nothing higher than that. And everyone benefits. Everyone benefits. So when such a personality leaves, obviously there is a loss. There's a loss. And therefore, we not only lament the disappearance of the individual as a person, but we also lament the contribution that they gave to the service within the yatra. It is a loss. Sometimes when we think how to replace that. Of course, that's why devotees become inspired to hear the glories of the life of a person who dedicated themselves to so fully to the service of the Lord, because it's so inspirational in our own Krishna consciousness. I think that's more inspirational than just a philosophical presentation of the Shastric knowledge, which is important. When we see the Shastras in action, and we can be inspired to somehow want to emulate or to do the same. We want to make our service so nice that we want to serve in that same way. Because it's glorious and it pleases Krishna very much. So the departure of a Vaishnava, we say, is kind of bittersweet. It's bittersweet. There's a kind of sabji, they call it sweet and sour. You've had that sabji, right? I think it's one of my favorite sabjis. Anybody know how to make sweet sour sabjis? Good. Please keep me on your list. They're the best sabjis, right? As far as I, in my own experience. It's got both flavors. And life is like that, because in the apparent sour or the apparent unhappiness, there's happiness. That's the glory of bhakti, because there's no unhappiness. Even within the unhappiness, there's a kind of happiness. What is that happiness? Is that the person who we are so close to and gave us so much of their association is now with Krishna. They have achieved the goal of life. And so it's an inspiration and an example for all of us, and it's a source of happiness within our own hearts. They made it. Thank you, Prabhupada. It's like, you know, it's a call to victory within our own life. And it inspires us in our own devotional service. But the unhappiness is the loss of the personal association and the contribution of devotional service that they gave. So we feel that, because a devotee is very dear to everyone, because a devotee has no other motivation other than to please Krishna and to serve the Vaishnavas, that's all. And so that's why Lord Chaitanya is asking this question. Of course, he asks many other questions. There's another question he says here. This is a very short purport, and I'll read it. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, out of all auspicious and beneficial activities, which is the best for the living entity? Okay. Out of all auspicious and beneficial activities, which is the best for the living entity? Ramananda Roy replied, the only auspicious activity is association with the devotees of Krishna. And the purport is, there's a verse from the Bhagavatam, 11.2.30, and the translation is, we are asking you to tell us what is the most perfect welfare activity. I think that in this material world, association with devotees, even if for a moment, is the greatest treasure house for mankind. Now that says a lot. So, And that we can experience. How wonderful it is to associate. When you start associating with non-devotees, you understand how wonderful it is to associate with devotees. When you stay away from devotees for a while, you just realize. Because in the association of devotees, Krishna is there. What we need in our devotional service becomes available in the association of devotees. The association of devotees gives us everything. That's why when Srila Prabhupada was asked, what is the most important thing in devotional service? And Prabhupada said, there's actually three things that are most important. Association, association, association. Can you remember those three? So that's what he said. So how we get on, we get an understanding of the value and the, what we say, auspiciousness of association with devotees. So it's, and when a devotee, especially one who is such a great devotee, departs, it's a great loss. It's a great loss on this level. They say it's the greatest of all loss because it cannot be replaced. It cannot be replaced. But on another level, that association is still available through the power of our own bhakti. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says something really nice in relationship to Srila Haridas Thakur when Haridas Thakur left. He wrote this eulogy, which is an epitaph that was inscribed on the Samadhi Mandir of Srila Haridas Thakur. He reasons ill who say that Vaishnavas die. When thou art living still in sound, Vaishnavas die to live, and in living, try to spread the holy name around. And Prabhupada would quote that often, that a Vaishnav, they come for one reason, to preach or to serve. And then when they leave, when they hear, they do that. And when they depart, what do? Same thing. There's nothing different in their activities like that. So, therefore, when we are connected in devotional service with devotees, we're connected. There's no question of separation on that level. But there is. And that's the, what we say, the feature of bhakti. Something is one way and something is another way, opposite. Something is one way and another way simultaneously. So there's no separation, but there is separation. So that's Krishna consciousness. And therefore we can go deeper into our own mood of bhakti by thinking about glorifying and trying to emulate those qualities that are so, what we say, auspicious and dear to us in the process of bhakti, like that. So, and Prabhupada, and it's interesting, not only this particular exchange between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy, but there's other ones that illustrate the same point. Just like in a few verses previously, it says, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then asked Ramananda, out of all glorious activities, which is the most glorious? Ramananda Roy replied, that person who is reputed to be a devotee of Lord Krishna enjoys the utmost fame and glory. And Prabhupada writes, the greatest reputation of a living being can have is to be a devotee of Krishna and to act in Krishna consciousness. I guess maybe some of us at one point wanted to be famous, right? You know, it's a quality of the conditioned souls to want to be famous, to be recognized, to be honored, to be have some distinction. And people develop talents, qualities, and positions in this world in order to get followers and prestige from that. So here it says that a devotee, although doesn't have that kind of desire, still they're the most They're the most famous and the most glorious. There was the story of Jamuna Devi, who recently left our association in December of 2011. And in the early days, you know, when she met the Beatles with Prabhupada here in London, she would also sing, because she sang, she was a very good singer. Because every day we open the curtains and we hear Govinda Madhi Purusham Jamuna singing. So George Harrison picked up on Jamuna's qualities and he said, you know, I can make you famous. I can make you famous. And she thought, and then she went to Prabhupada and asked. And I don't really know what Prabhupada said in this way. But anyway, the result was she decided not to take that road and just stick to her own devotional service. Imagine if you were offered a position of fame by George Harrison or someone who was equal to him in that category. Think about that. What would you do? But she rejected it. And you know, now she's very famous. She's so famous that everywhere in the world, her voice is heard every morning in every temple at the greeting of the deities. We'll never forget her. Right? So Prabhupada made her famous. Or Krishna made her famous. She lives on in her quality of good singing. But she sang for Krishna, therefore. A devotee is always has the best of all qualities. A devotee is the greatest, is the richest, the most famous, the most auspicious, and the most happiest. To be a devotee means to have all the benefits of material life also. Jayashishi Radha Gokulananda Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. So this is Vaishnava culture. It's so glorious. So therefore when a Vaishnava is with us, it's wonderful, and when they depart, it's also wonderful. Because departure is inevitable. And when we see that their life has so been so exemplary in the association of the Lord, it just inspires us in Krishna consciousness to see such quality of bhakti. Bhakti is rare. You can't get bhakti so easy. Bhakti comes from Radharani. She's Bhakti Devi. And bhakti, when she wants, she'll give you bhakti. But it's not so easy to get bhakti. Pure bhakti. Pure bhakti is pure bhakti. When it's mixed, it's not really bhakti in the true sense of the definition. It's elements of bhakti. It's like, you know, you can have water, but it's not pure. It's not the greatest water. But bhakti can only be understood in the definition of its own purity. Real bhakti is pure bhakti. And when Radharani blesses you with pure bhakti, then your life is successful like that. So we pray to Bhakti Devi, Radharani, to give us that blessing. And when she sees that one is sincerely serving with all their heart and with all their, well, we say energy, we got energy too. That's not only give your heart, but put your connect your heart to the energy to use your energy for. And you know, they say as you grow older your energy just becomes less, but you know, I don't think it's true. I just don't think it's true, because energy doesn't come from the body, it comes from the soul. The body's energy is coming from the soul. And when the soul is enlivened, just like, what was it, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, he was 125 years old. And he was being carried in a basket by his disciple, Bihari Lal. And he came upon the place where Lord Chaitanya's birthplace was. And it wasn't clear at that time what was the actual location of Lord Chaitanya's place. When he came to that spot, he immediately had spiritual inspiration. And he jumped out of the basket and started to jump. And he was leaping high in the air. And sometimes the acharyas describe his leaping as that when they looked up, they could see the bottom of his feet. He was jumping so high. At 120 years old. Dvaitacharya, he was 125. He lived for 125 years also. And who else was that? Jagannath Das Babaji actually lived for 147 years. So okay, we might say, all right, Maharaj, get real. I'm not that on that level. But you can be. When the soul is connected to Krishna in devotional service, the soul has no limitations. And so one can transcend all bodily restrictions in the devotional service. And the devotees do. Just like with Prabhupada, it was amazing. At one point, maybe you heard this story, and the devotees had erected a makeshift altar. I'm not sure where it was. It may have been here in London or something. It was in Berry Place, yeah, okay. And I think persons like Shamsundar and Tamal Krishna Goswami had put the altar together. It was pillars with an overhead pillar. Jagannath was there below. And it was supposed to be, it was an overhead beam, And Prabhupada was sitting right in the front. And the way they structured it wasn't too stable. And when the curtains opened, the top beam started to move and started to fall, and it was about to fall on the deities. And it was heavy. It took two men to carry the beam in. Prabhupada jumped up and grabbed the beam and held it. He caught it like that. And then, of course, someone came along to help him. But he stopped that beam from falling on the deities, and that beam was heavy. Right, Prabhu? It was heavy. And so, and everyone's thinking, wow, how did Prabhupada do that? Here's a little, Prabhupada was about 5'4", something like that, in height. Of course, you measure in meters here. What's 5'4"? It's about a meter and a half, something like that. Huh? You measure in feet here, too? Okay, 5'4". I'm small. I'm like 5'6", so that's smaller than me. We got some small people here. So, Prabhupada was small in size, but he had such spiritual presence and spiritual power, too. So a devotee's not limited by time. So a devotee can always... So as time goes on, one's spiritual energy increases like that. But the body may go down. The body may go down due to time. That's the... But we saw in the life of Jivapati, even though he was 68 years old, still, he was always still fully engaged in devotional service. Getting up 1:30 in the morning, chanting his rounds, and doing his deity service. Because that's love. You don't even think whether your body is healthy or not sometimes. Of course, we're supposed to take care of our body. But sometimes when it comes between our service and our health, we take the service. It's just natural. Devotees just think, why should I give up my service? Why should I let these things interfere? So we see these are the qualities of a person who is tasting the sweetness of bhakti or devotional service. They don't think, my body. And body will get old anyway. That's just the way it is. But the soul never gets old. Soul is always... And the soul is what connects us to Krishna in devotional service. So separation from a devotee of the Lord is the greatest form of unhappiness here. Mm-hmm. And these discussions are really quite edifying spiritually. This Prabhupada gives light, a lot of nice purports describing the qualities of a Vaishnava and the importance of association with devotees, how important it is. And Rupa Goswami, in his Upadeshamrita Nectar of Instruction, illustrates the importance of associating with devotees. And association with devotees is more than just physical proximity. It's actually an exchange based on certain principles of relationship. And those principles are called the principles of love. So how to associate with devotees, to exchange confidential thoughts, to exchange prasadam, to exchange gifts, like that. These are six ways, actually, to associate with devotees. That's mentioned in the fourth verse of Nectar of Instructions. So, today is the actual day of celebration, his departure. We use the word celebration. We don't use the word lamentation. Or when people die in the mysterious world, they go to the funeral. And there's a casket there. There's the body. And people are looking. And some people are crying. Some people are saying, well, you died and you still haven't paid the debt you owed me. Right? You borrowed some money and now you left without paying. That's the material world. So, it's a miserable affair. Everybody's miserable. Right? And sometimes, you know, and sometimes they say, actually, he never looked so good. Right? When he was alive, he wasn't so nice looking. Now he looks really good. It's a real joke. Material life is, if you really want to get into something funny, just study this material life. It's really funny. It's ridiculous. It's totally, material life is totally ridiculous. It makes no sense at all. It doesn't. Right. Because we're not the body. And everything's based on the body. So therefore, whatever happens is ludicrous because it's based on a false principle. Yeah, a man loves a woman and a woman loves a man. They get so excited. And then they both die and then the woman becomes a man and the man becomes a woman. It's a joke. You look in the mirror, you think, that's me. That's another joke. So the whole material life is totally absurd. Completely. And that's Krishna's joke. You want to stay here? This is the fun house. It's a place where you can't fulfill your desires and you can't stop trying to fulfill your desires unless you take the devotional service. So this place makes no sense at all. It's completely senseless. That's why when people take up devotional service, then life makes sense. Then life actually begins. We say there's no life until one actually takes the devotional service. Prabhupada was walking down the street in New York, and he was with a few of his devotees, and he was saying, I'm seeing all these people, but all I see is dead bodies flapping. There's no life there. Just bodies moving from one place to another. Why? Because life is devotional service. Just to fulfill material needs is not life. And the human being is the most ridiculous of all living beings. Because the animals make sense. They're acting the way they're supposed to. But a human being doesn't. So therefore, they're actually a comic display of ridiculousness. Because a human being is struggling so hard just to fulfill desires that can't be fulfilled, that are automatically fulfilled when one doesn't struggle so hard. How about that? Makes sense? People work hard for what? sex life or food for material things, but a devotee gets it automatically. When people would sometimes criticize devotees and say, you people don't contribute anything to society, you don't work. You're actually a parasite. You know that word? Parasite? Actually, we are parasites because the highest sight is para, right? Transcendental. Parasites. The sight of para. But Prabhupada would respond to that. Why should we work? Our father's the richest person. If you're born in a rich family and your father's got everything, why work? He can give you whatever you need, right? Because you're his child, right? So people go out to work and your father's rich. So if you leave your father, you leave the opportunity to get the inheritance of the father and the mercy of the father. And then you got to work because you're a prodigal son, right? You left the association. But when you come back, then you get all the benefits of having a rich father. So, therefore, for devotees, there's no struggle in life. We simply depend on Krishna and serve Krishna. And we see, that's what Jiva Pati did. He was just serving Krishna, that's all. You'll see something, people say this film you'll see today, which is coming up a little later, is that they're asking him questions about something about material life. He didn't care about anything material. He didn't care about what's going on in the material. Why are you bothering me with something useless? Service to Radha Gokulananda is all I really need. And material life is like that. If you don't read the papers for 10 years and then one day you pick it up after 10 years, it's the same thing. Nothing changes, right? Say some people are dying, some people are born, some people get married, some people get divorced, some plane crashes, somebody's house gets on fire. Same stuff. It's some war here, some war there. It's all the same. It's material life. There's no juice to it. So, therefore, to glorify devotees is to glorify the Lord, because they live their life around glorifying the Lord, and they become as glorious as the Lord. The life of a devotee who has given himself completely to the Lord as glorious as the Lord himself. That's why to honor a Vaishnava is the highest form of worship. And Krishna even illustrates that. He says, one who says he's my devotee, not my devotee. One who says he's a devotee of my devotee is actually my devotee. That's from the Adi Purana. Krishna speaks that himself. He just says, declare boldly, my devotee is so dear to me, Arjuna, that even I'll break my own promise to protect my devotee. Krishna doesn't even care about his reputation. He'll give up his reputation just to serve his devotee. That's Krishna. How much he loves his devotee. So when we love his devotee, how dear we become to Krishna. That's why sometimes we say that the mothers of the devotees are so special because they love their children, and their children are devotees, and therefore, because they love a devotee, Krishna says, oh, you love my devotee. Even if you're not a devotee, still, because you love my devotee, I give you special mercy. Our parents are so fortunate. They're getting so much. Why? Because they love you as your children, but actually, they're your Krishna's devotee. Therefore, Krishna is so pleased with your parents that he gives sometimes the parents the same benefit in devotional service as the children do, because they have so much affection for his devotee. Even though it's natural based on family, that's Krishna. That's how Krishna sees things. So devotional service is so glorious, and even more glorious is a devotee of Krishna. So I don't want to speak too long because we need a little break before the program. But is there any questions?